Hey everyone, if you know me, you know that I've been investing in precious metals for many, many years. Once I realized that private banking cartels could drastically manipulate currencies, putting my family savings in jeopardy, I decided to take matters into my own hand and diversify our savings strategy. This is why I buy physical silver and gold and invest in metals through our Roth and 401k, and I only invest with Colonial Metals Group. CMG is the exclusive sponsor of the Shannon Joy Show, and they're helping me set up a safe and secure self-directed IRA where I have access to my assets no matter what the stock market, or for that matter, the government is doing. Let the team of experts at Colonial help you protect your family's future with an extra special offer just for the SJ audience. Click on the link in the description below or call 888-705 0950. That's 888-705-0950, and you'll be eligible to receive a free safe and up to $10,000 in free silver just for the SJ audience. Join me today and take back your power. Secure your wealth with Colonial Metals Group. Well, hello everyone, and welcome to the Shannon Joy Show. We're broadcasting from the Joy Virtual Studio right here in the beautiful Finger Lakes region of New York State. It's so good to be with all of you today. We are broadcasting live from Rumble, from Twitter, from Spreely TV. So good to be with all of you. A little bit late today, so sorry. It's 11:15. Sometimes the shows write themselves. Sometimes it's a little more difficult. And this particular show is going to be heavy on some video clips because we're going to be attacking a topic that I've been covering for over 10 years since I launched the Shannon Joy Show from a tiny little radio station in a double-wide trailer in a cornfield 10 years ago. I began my in-depth reporting, fighting the Common Core battles here in New York State. And in fighting Common Core, and that was essentially the federal takeover of all major public schools across the United States of America by the federal government, but it was particularly bad in New York State. It was through that battle that I did my deep dive and really looking into education and the takeover of public schools, how they use public schools and public education to shape culture, to shape generations, to wield power over parents through their children because they have them in their clutches 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, 150 days a year. So it's a big, big topic. And I cut my teeth on that topic. And in the coverage of obviously Common Core and curriculum and the federal takeover of schools, I did, delve into, well, what was in the library? What were they teaching in health classes? What were the pieces of legislation that were being passed in New York State that were obliterating the rights of parents and sexualizing young kids? And we did a lot of reports. In fact, if you go back and look in my archive on the shannonjoy.com, which is my website, it might still be there. One of the earliest shows that I did was entitled From Kinsey to Kindergarten. We did a deep dive on the history of Alfred Kinsey. He is the founder of the Kinsey Institute out of Indiana and essentially the father of modern, sex education today in the United States of America. And essentially, everything that we're dealing with today has to do with what was planted, the seeds that were planted in the early sexual revolution. People like Alfred Kinsey, people like John Money. And I did that deep dive, and it was frankly horrifying to me what they were planning to do to children that we reported on our show. In fact, the pornographic books that were featured in health classes, the pornographic surveys that were given to young children, all of that was rolled out in New York State 10 years ago. We raged against it here in New York State. We failed. We lost. We continue to lose in New York State, and they continue to double and triple down and really push the agenda. And so this becomes exported to the rest of the country. It's why you're seeing this explode in school districts across the United States of America, red states and blue states. It's why you're seeing a very necessary pushback. Accounts like Libs of TikTok on Twitter, I'm so thankful for. People like Matt Walsh over at Daily Wire, I am so thankful for. His documentary, The War on Women, the efforts of people like Christopher Rufo and James Lindsay and Moms for Liberty, as they began to fight the lockdowns, COVID-19 lockdowns, forced masking and forced jabbing of children, using the school as an implement, a vehicle to control parents and children. You had this emergence of a very necessary pushback to the influence of public schools across the country. And over the past 3 years, we've experienced great victories. In fact, I want to point you to a recent interview that I did with my exclusive collaboration with Daily Clout and the amazing team over at Daily Clout. I interviewed Billboard Chris. He has 500,000 followers on Twitter. He is a dad from Canada, and he has been on a mission for the past 3 years, traveling across the world, talking about gender ideology, the dangers of transgenderism, especially as it's pushed onto children, the dangers of puberty blockers, and the horrific mutilating surgeries that are conducted on young children as young as 13 or 14 years old. He's been to the UK. He's been across the pond, California, Florida. He's pushed legislation, joined with people like Chloe Cole, another amazing hero on Twitter, a young girl who transitioned to male and detransitioned, regretting what was done to her, how her parents were manipulated and she was manipulated by an education institution and tricked into destroying her body, potentially her ability to reproduce. And so all of this has been coming out over the past 3 years, and I've been watching it, and I'm very, very thankful for it. But we need to continue this fight because there are multiple pieces of legislation. And I have to say, you know, this battle has been quite painful, even for me personally. You guys know that I don't just come here and spout to you on my platforms every day. I try to put my money where my mouth is. And when I tell people to get involved at the local level and get involved at the school board level, I can promise you we have done everything in our power here in New York State to put an end to the abuse of children in public schools through the books that they have access to in the libraries, which are completely pornographic and abusive to children. We have fought those at the school board level. In fact, I started an organization in my town. We have a mailing list of 2,000 parents. We have brought legal action. We have created briefs and distributed them to our DA, to local law enforcement. We filed 80 claims against the insurance bonds of our school board members to get these pornographic books out of our schools. We failed at every turn here in Fairport, New York, but not for lack of trying. In our hospitals in New York State, conduct gender-affirming care, the hormone therapy, the puberty blockers, and these horrific surgeries at Golisano Children's Hospital. Many parents, many activators here in Rochester, New York have protested outside that hospital for many, many, many months. They've had letter-writing campaigns. We've tried for legislation. Everything but the kitchen sink we've tried in New York, and we have failed. They continue to push this. Now, the good news is that this is being beat back in red states across the U.S. And I want to encourage you guys to go and watch my interview with Billboard Chris. You will come away very inspired by what he has accomplished. Men who are standing up, a group of four men out of the state of Texas who have quit their jobs as lawyers, and they've started a firm to protect and defend young children and their families, people who were coerced into this mutilating capture of the medical industrial complex. But it's worthy of discussion today. And I have many videos to share with you today because of the news of the day and because of its relationship with the larger picture, which we've been focusing more on this program. And again, I say, you know, this is painful for me because I've really tried to fight this in my state. And it's so distressing to me to see the books and to fight against it and to make people aware of it, but to not succeed has been, I think, one of the reasons why I've stepped back from reporting on it a little bit, though I do report on it from time to time. But I'm reinvigorated, especially as very, very terrible legislation and an equal rights amendment, they are looming in New York State to be voted on in this upcoming election. And my heart has been touched by some of the local activators here in New York State, a group of women who are conducting a letter writing campaign to hospital officials and administrators here in New York to push them to end this in our hospitals. And also an organization that is going to be very, very important, Save the Children New York, or I think it's protectthechildrennewyork.com. Building a coalition, a statewide coalition, to alert people to the dangers of the Equal Rights Amendment that is going to be on the ballot for an up or down vote in New York State, which will essentially erase the rights of parents in New York. In fact, you guys know Owen Stevens. He's produced the show for me from time to time. Very, very dear friend of the Shannon Joy Show. Young guy, just got married, living in New York, fighting the good fight here in New York. And I just talked to him the other day. They are moving to Georgia, he and his beautiful wife. And the reason is they cannot raise children here in New York. With this looming, the children are being seized by the state. And I want to urge all of you, if you think that you're safely ensconced in a red state, if you think that this can't happen in your state, think again, even if it's red. So goes New York State. So goes California. So goes the rest of the country. And we have to beat this, even in the worst of the worst. It's not good enough to escape. It's not good enough to escape these hellholes, because this is where they incubate the plans. This is where they come up with the techniques and the tactics, and they hone their methods and they push it out and they test these things in New York State and California. And then they export this to Washington, D.C. They export this to vulnerable red states, and they can go in and they can switch a legislature like that. They can switch a school board like that. I've seen it happen in New York, in my school board, in my small town and village, in neighboring small towns and villages. You have a conservative Christian school board, primarily of Republicans. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, people descend from out of your community into your community. And all of a sudden, they are labeling people bigots and racists, and they have money, and you have no idea where that money is coming from. And all of a sudden, the town that you thought that was safe, the school board you thought was safe, was turned over in an election season. And they seize power and they don't give it back. I watched this happen in New York in real time. And I see, no offense, but F New York. Fine, you guys can F New York and laugh at the people who are battling this in New York. But I assure you, this is coming to you. The worst of the techniques are perfected in New York and exported to red states. And this is why Texas is purple. This is why in the state of Ohio, Mike DeWine vetoed a bill that would protect children against transgender indoctrination in schools. Okay? This is why you have red school districts, even in the state of Florida, that will feature these books and push out this propaganda and threaten young children. In fact, you likely have hospital systems in Florida that practice these procedures and push them out. So do not say F New York and act like it doesn't matter. There's a reason that I stay here. There's a reason that people stay here. And I understand why people leave. But we've got to win these battles. And I'll continue to fight. So my heart was touched by these local groups. And so I'm going to jump into this again. I'm going to make this one of my projects for 2024 right here locally. And we're going to practice this. And we're going to see what we can do to expose this and to beat it back. But we have to talk about the larger issue of how transgenderism and the push for transgenderism and the LGBTQ political agendas is part of a larger agenda, not just to destroy the family structure, which is usually what the people on the right will talk about. They'll say, well, these are communists, Marxists. They want to take over everything and impose totalitarianism. And in order to do that, they have to break apart the family. And yes, that's part of it. That is probably the cultural governmental aspect of it, that governments always want broken families. They want them severed and they want families controllable. And that way they can push their programs and have more control. But there is a corporate and an economic aspect to this as well. The mutilation of children is a multi-billion dollar industry, and it's a critical component of the medical industrial complex, which is poison people, poison humans, get them sick, plug them into the system. Then the pharmaceutical products or the healthcare products or the medical products that they use to solve the original problem create new problems. And then it's a pipeline. It's a cycle. People never emerge. It is what I talk about, the great resetters. When they talk about the 21st century economy, they mean the human being has no soul, no value, no human rights. We're all cogs in a wheel. We are the consumer, we are the product, and we are the experiment. And that is transhumanism. I truly believe that transgenderism, which was dumped onto the scene culturally 10 years ago, led by people like Bruce Jenner and the Kardashians, in this cultural assimilation of the ideas about transgenderism and the, you know, the multiple genders, I truly believe that that was a precursor to transhumanism, right? It is the medical recreation, the biomedical industrial complex, the recreation of the human, whether it's chips in your brain or the merging of the body and the nanotechnology. And yes, Elon Musk is involved in some of this. I think that transgenderism, if they could break our minds over that and break children over that and normalize that and get people to actually agree with the absurdity that a man can be a woman or a woman can be a man and psychologically break people into believing that, even though we can see with our own eyes, it's a complete false, it's a farce, it's a complete fallacy, it's insane. But once they can convince people of something as absurd and insane as that, well, they can convince you of anything. They can convince you that a filthy rag will stop the transmission of an airborne aerosolized virus. They can convince you that an mRNA technology, a novel technology, can be perfected in 6 months and rolled out and won't have any negative complications or adverse events. And that was the mRNA COVID-19 jab, right? If they can get a society of people to say that the sky is green, even though we can see that it's blue, or the grass is blue, even though we can see that it's green, and deny our own reality, then they have succeeded in creating a completely pliable culture. A culture of people who can be conditioned to think or do anything. And I think that's the larger goal. Transgenderism, the war on children, the seizure of children from their parents, is all part of that larger agenda, the globalist technocratic agenda of the New World Order and the Great Resetters. It all works in together. And so we're going to look at this again in context of some really interesting news that has been coming out and some great videos. I mentioned we started a little bit late today because I was working on downloading my videos and getting them ready for the show today. We're going to feature a phenomenal trailer. There is a man and his wife, an ex-Hollywood producer, I believe. His name is Robbie Starbuck, and we follow each other on Twitter, and he's been very good on all things COVID-19 and lockdown. And he released a 2-hour documentary entitled The War on Children. And the documentary was retweeted by Elon Musk, and it blows the lid off of this absolutely horrific assault on children stemming from our public schools and our cultural institutions. And so we're going to feature for you today the trailer to that. Also, some of the more devastating videos coming from libs of TikTok. It's truly tragic what these adults are doing to children. But we're also going to look into the history, a little bit into the psyche and the absolutely disgusting history behind what we now know as the modern day transgender movement or the LGBTQ+++ movement. We're going to look at Alfred Kinsey for a moment, and even more scrutiny is going to be placed on John Money, who really is the father or would be seen as the father of the modern transgender movement. It has to be completely crushed. We have to completely obliterate this. We have to annihilate this movement. We have to end all of these practices. We have to fight this in red states and be aware that it is happening in red states, but also fight it in blue states as well so that it can't be exported any longer. So we're going to get into, when we come back, I'm going to run a couple very disturbing videos for you, but we're definitely going to do the trailer from Robbie Starbuck and the war on children. By the way, I believe that was reposted like 17 million times. So thank you to Elon Musk for pushing that out. I haven't watched the entire documentary, but I am going to. And I don't have any relationship with Robbie Starbuck. In fact, I reached out to him. I'd like to get him on the show or his wife to talk about this documentary. So I'm working on that. But there is, you know, another big story. That, you know, this is a real breakthrough. And this is from the Collegiate Charter School. I don't know if you've seen the viral video, which I'm also going to play for you today, of a transgender student, a boy, biological boy, playing in a girls' high school basketball game. The coach of the Collegiate Charter School, a man, finally did what we've been asking parents and coaches to do for years. He pulled the girls from the game after the third young girl was injured by this very large, very aggressive biological male posing as a female. There is a press release that came from Collegiate Charter School, and I think this might be one of those moments where we break through. Hopefully more and more parents, you know, we see these videos of young girls competing in swim meets and track meets and basketball games and volleyball games against, you know, transgender boys who have no business competing with young girls in these collegiate activities. And the reporting of Riley Gaines and the activism of Riley Gaines has been really important with all of this. But the big question and the burning question to everyone is, why are these girls participating? Why are their parents letting them participate? Why are these coaches letting them participate? And the reason is because they have been absolutely bullied by very loud, very outspoken, quite vicious organizations and groups that descend into towns, and they will smash anyone who stands against this for even a second. And so regular Americans, people who are not acclimated to what we do every day, which is the political activism and the organization, they don't want to be attacked. And so they submit, they don't say anything, and yeah, you can judge them. But what we need to do is make it so that there's a safe space for them to stand up and do the right thing. And in this case, you know, it took them three girls going down, but essentially, finally, this coach did the right thing. And so we're going to look at that video. I'm going to read that press release. We're going to look at that trailer when we come back. And then we're also going to do a deep dive on the very, very disgusting, disgusting, disturbing history of the modern day transgender movement and the sexualization of young kids in public schools. This is because of the work of some of the most disgusting pedophiles and child abusers in American history. And in the case of Alfred Kinsey, they still have an institute that exists in Indiana that hails this guy as the father of modern sexuality and modern sex education. It's disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. Disgusting. So we're going to get into that and look at also the really nasty stuff happening in New York. And again, I'm going to reiterate, I know you guys, a lot of you, it's a national audience, and you say to yourselves, well, people in New York are just crazy. And, you know, I don't care what happens in New York because I'm safe. I'm in a red state. I will tell you, if it can happen in New York, it can be exported to the rest of the country. They have very sophisticated tools of weaponry that they use in New York. A lot of it is you know, collapsing any opposition. It's infiltrating the opposition party. It's descending on local school boards or influential school boards, and then exporting everything to smaller, more, you know, rural school boards. Everything you can imagine is deployed in places like New York. And so when we have victories here, it's really important, and there's a lot to learn from it. So We're going to get into all that today. Thank you guys for being with us today. When we come back, we're going to continue the show. I'm going to say hey to everyone on the live chat. Again, so thankful to see all of you. It's already heating up right here on Rumble. We're live on Rumble. We're at about 150 live viewers, which is amazing. I'd love for you guys to give us a follow right now on the Shannon Joy Show. If you're watching, you appreciate what we do. Please give us a thumbs up. Give us a comment. Join the live chat. It's some of the nicest, most brilliant people on a live chat on Rumble. We're also on Twitter. So if you're watching on Twitter, I'm so glad you're here. Please give us a retweet. Give us a comment. That helps with the algorithms. And I think that we can bust this up to over 200 today as we move through this show. Again, when we don't have a guest and it's just me, but also without help from Rumble, I love to see us able to get over that 200 mark on Rumble and keep that, maintain that, and then we can continue to organically grow. So keep it tuned right here. I have some stunning video to play when we come back. And we're also going to give a shout out to our sponsors as well. So we'll be back in a moment to continue the show right here on The Shannon Joy Show. Hey, everyone. Just want to pause for a moment to thank our sponsors over at Shell Shock CBD. That is shellshockcbd.com. Make sure you use the promo code ShannonJoy for 10% off all of their products. We love this company, and I want to draw your attention today to a study that I found from 2014 published at NIH. This is a double-blind, randomized, placebo-controlled parallel group study of THC CBD spray and peripheral neuropathic pain treatment. And in the conclusion of this study, they found, and I quote, "These findings demonstrate that in a meaningful proportion of otherwise treatment-resistant patients, clinically important improvements in pain, sleep quality, and SGIC of the severity of their condition are obtained with the THC CBD spray." So as you know, we've been talking about the medicinal benefits of CBD. I use a non-THC CBD product called Rackout from Shellshock CBD that has me sleeping like a baby. And there are more and more studies out there showing that CBD is a really great alternative for people who want to stay off pharmaceutical products. And that's why I love the folks over at Shell Shock CBD. They have a whole variety of tinctures and creams and gummies and CBD products, both THC and non-THC, which is what I use, that are helping people to ease a whole variety of problems, whether it's stress, anxiety, sleeplessness, or even pain. They have the topical cream called Topical Thunder that people swear by. The reviews are fantastic. And as I've mentioned, the Rackout gummies, which is what I use when I can't sleep. It's an amazing product. I would love for you guys to try it out. If you go to shellshockcbd.com, that's shellshockcbd.com, you can get some of their products, the gummies particularly, in sample packs so that you don't have to buy and invest in the whole product. You can try it out, see it if you like it. And as John Burke always says, if you are not completely satisfied, they always give you a 100% money back guarantee. That is how confident they are in their products over at Shellshock CBD. So please support the companies that support the Shannon Joy Show. Go to shellshockcbd.com right now, today. Put in that promo code Shannon Joy and begin to experience the benefits of the medicinal benefits of Shell Shock CBD. We'll be back in a moment. And we are back. It's me, Shannon Joy. It is Tuesday, February 20th. We are live right here on Rumble. Again, give us a thumbs up, give us a follow, and make sure you comment on the live chat. Helps us with the algorithm. Big thank you to our sponsors, Shell Shock CBD, and our affiliate partner, The Wellness Company. You're going to hear about them today on the program. And Bones Mama One has a comment on the live chat. And let me grab it because where did I see that? You should definitely try the Shell Shock CBD. She mentioned that she should try it. I take 2 Xanax and 3 over-the-counter sleep aids. Who the heck does that? It's excessive AF. It is a little excessive, Bones Mama One. Yes. Yes, 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 yes. Try the rack out. It is in my nightstand. I should take a picture of it someday. It's the most elegant product. I don't know how he did it. John Burke is the owner of Shell Shock CBD, but it is CBD, non-THC. It will not get you high. All natural, organic, non-GMO, you name it. And it's a mixture of the CBD with melatonin. And I don't know what it is in that product, Bones Mama One, but I do sleep like a baby. Like it's, and I don't have to use it every day. It is non-addictive. It's not habit forming, but when I really do need to sleep, it knocks me right out. It's a great, great product. Again, use the Shannon Joy promo code when you go to Shell Shock CBD to get the 10% discount, because they will give you a discount for that. And you can also try a sample pack. So if you don't want to invest in the entire package, you can get the sample pack. So yes, Bones Mama One, highly, highly recommended. So let's do the basketball clip first, because I think this is a pivotal moment in the United States of America where, to my knowledge, this is the first time, and now this is a charter school, collegiate charter school of Lauer, I believe, or Lowell, and the coach made the decision in game to cancel the game and pull his girls out because the opposing team had a transgender player, a biological male, that was pummeling, basically beating the crap out of his girls. And he suffered two injuries. At the third injury, he said, done, not doing it. And to my knowledge, and you guys can correct me on the live chat if you've seen this happen somewhere else. I have not seen a coach do this. I haven't seen a collegiate coach do this. I haven't seen a team stand up against this with one voice and pull the girls. So this is a huge deal. But here's the video of the basketball game. And don't worry, we're going to get to the War on Children trailer, which is unbelievable, in just a minute. But let's play this video. And then I'm going to read to you the statement from collegiate charter school, who probably didn't want to do this, honestly. No one wants to jump into this battle, but they did eventually forfeit the game. Here's the video that led to the cancellation of the game and then this statement by Collegiate Charter School. Here we go. Thanks for listening to the Shannon Joy Show. We'll be right back. As you all know, the Joy family is super sporty. We all play volleyball. The kids are playing beach volleyball in the summer, high school volleyball in the fall. And right now we are traveling across the country almost every weekend, different city every weekend, playing club volleyball. And the kids need good nutrition. Very difficult to be healthy on the road. Sometimes they're playing, you know, up to 5 games a day, 10 games in a weekend. And they need the vitamins and minerals. They need the nutrition. And I'm so thrilled to partner up with Field of Greens so that they can get all of the vitamins and the nutrients and the nutrition that they need to supplement their regular diet and keep them full of energy and healthy on the court. Also, healing after these long tournaments is really important. And the product line over at Field of Greens is fantastic. It is an easy way to make sure that your family is getting the nutrients that they need, all natural, every single day. Go to fieldofgreens.com. That's fieldofgreens.com. And plug in the promo code Shannon. You can check out their whole lineup of products. And if you put in that promo code Shannon, you'll get 15% off your order. So we're super excited to partner up with them and looking forward to a super healthy 2023. Look at that. Unbelievable. Yeah. Unbelievable. And you can see it's 52 or 32 is the transgender biological boy. And you just got to question what kid would even show up for that. I mean, it's just, you know, unbelievable how the LGBTQ movement has co-opted the women's movement. And basically the hallmark of the women's movement and LGBTQ is pummeling girls, right? A society today where boys, biological boys, are quote unquote better girls than girls themselves, right? They're winning beauty pageants. They're winning Women of the Year awards. They're absolutely obliterating biological girls in high school and collegiate sports. And so finally, this coach, to his benefit, it took three girls, but that was the straw that broke the camel's back. And this is the statement from Collegiate Charter School from Lowell, Massachusetts. On February 8th, the coach of Collegiate Charter School decided to end the game at halftime after watching a third player injured in the game with Kipp Academy. The bench was already depleted going into the game with a 12-player roster, having four players unable to play. When the coach saw three more girls go down in the first half, leaving him with five players, he made the call to end the game early. They have playoffs looming, blah, 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 and injuries. In an effort to maintain safety for his team, he decided to forfeit. The charter school supports this decision and reiterates its values of both inclusivity and safety for all students. That's your clue that they didn't want to do this, right? That's your clue that they just wanted to ignore it. That's why they had the game in the first place, right? So here you have likely, a progressive or left-leaning school, but the reality of this situation is such that they now have to address this. It's interesting. They didn't mention the transgender student. They didn't mention the biological boy, but they're not walking this back, and they're supporting the actions of the coach. It's totally twisted, right? It's completely twisted, but it's good news. And I think it's evidence that people like Libs of TikTok and Matt Walsh of Daily Wire and Billboard Chris, again, go to dailyclout.io. Did she really say that? As my collaboration with Naomi Wolf and the team over there, I do two or three shows for them a month, and I do a big table, round table discussion with Naomi Wolf and Brian and some of their other commentators. But my recent interview with Billboard Chris was unbelievable. It's up now over there. But his efforts, he talked about legislation passed, I believe, in 22 states in, varying degrees of effectiveness. But we are seeing it's becoming safe to say it's not okay to have biological boys pummeling girls in sporting activities. And we're getting very close to being able to say children are born perfectly. It is child abuse for any psychologist, any school administrator, any school counselor to come in and conduct therapy with a child and tell them they were born in the wrong body. That's abusive. Period. It's abusive to inject them with cross hormones. It's abusive to inject them with hormones or to block hormones. It's abusive to mutilate their bodies. Children have a right to develop naturally, and then they can make decisions, life-altering, life-changing decisions that will impact their fertility, their ability to procreate, and even their ability to enjoy sexuality or sexual intercourse. Those decisions should be made when they're adults, not by their parents, not by school counselors, not by school therapists or medical doctors or psychologists. This multi-billion dollar industry needs to be utterly obliterated. It is as bad, if not worse, as Big Pharma. Billions of dollars in hospital systems in every state in the United States of America, including your precious red states. To those of you who continue to go after me for staying in a blue state and fighting it here in New York State, I guarantee you, if you're in Texas or Florida, there are hospitals in your state that are likely conducting some of these services. And I know that Florida has probably gone the furthest in limiting this, and that's a good thing. But I would guess, I don't know for sure, don't quote me, that this stuff is happening. I know it's happening in most red states. Okay, so this is by no means over. And I'm also thankful for people like Robbie Starbuck. This is the trailer to the two-hour documentary created by an ex-Hollywood director and his wife, blowing the lid off of the war on children. And indeed, it is an absolute war on children. They see no human value in these kids. They wrap this in the sentiment of trying to help kids, but it's a complete and utter lie. And I have some really tragic video to show you after we're done with this one, because it's just what they're doing to these kids is so abusive and so disgusting that we should be raging against it. There should be hundreds, if not thousands, of parents at every school board meeting. You wouldn't believe the pornography that are in the libraries and the curriculum that they're teaching kids and the multiple genders. And then here in New York State, I mean, I'm going to tell you how bad it can get. You got to go to the belly of the beast to know how bad it can get. And it is to the point in New York State that in 7 to 8 short months, the voters will pass an equal rights amendment, which essentially will obliterate the rights of parents, giving all power to the state and to the institutions of education as they expand those into healthcare institutions as well. It's insane. It's insane. You got to know what's going on in New York State so that you can prepare to fight against it in your red states. But let's take a look at this trailer. Very powerful. And again, I'm working on getting Robbie Starbuck on the show to talk about this and this documentary because it's very, very important. We're going to play that right now here on The Shannon Joy Show. Take a look.
Are they intentionally sexualizing our children and stealing their innocence?
I think that's right.
TikTok specifically is designed to target young people. That's who their audience is.
Have children died because of social media?
Absolutely.
Have they been trafficked off of social media?
100%.
Have they been sexually exploited off of social media?
Ongoing. Yes.
I'm scrolling on TikTok. I see little kids with TikTok. What are they looking at?
This is what you don't want kids to see. Is that correct?
Exactly.
And again, this is depicting children. This is supposed to be kids.
Well, honestly, I didn't even know that transition from female to male was an option until I was on social media and began being exposed to those type of communities.
You've never seen a 18-month-old masturbating?
No, I haven't. Have you seen any sexually explicit drag shows marketed as all ages for kids that you would denounce or think that are a problem and that you want to distance yourself from?
No.
You know this is wrong.
So,
I'm sorry, I'm going to have to end the interview.
They use the word sexualize kids at a young age or, you know, I'm feeling you're afraid.
It just seems like there's no moral, you know, construct at all.
Are kids facing just the absolute worst onslaught of grooming that we've ever seen?
Yes, the entertainment industry is sexualizing children for an agenda.
Your daughter was secretly transitioned at school.
This policy has to do with children as young as 5 all the way through high school.
Penthouse footed the bill to lobby before state boards of education. Yes, Penthouse and Playboy. The history behind this is far darker than most Americans understand.
You think the big tech companies at this point are essentially aiding and abetting human traffickers and people who are working to exploit children?
Absolutely.
If you don't want to hear it in a school board meeting, why should children be able to check it out of the school system?
There is misinformation presented that somehow that we're doing surgery on minors or even children, and that simply is not true.
How old were you when they gave you a double mastectomy?
It was a month after my 13th birthday.
Ultimately, we're going to talk about, are they going to give, the counselor's going to give them medication there at school without their parents' permission? I mean, I think we're leading towards an absurd and horrific time.
Well, first of all, we weren't forewarned we would be sharing a locker room. We had no idea. I turned around, a 6'4", 22-year-old man, fully intact with an exposing male genitalia.
This ideology is killing our kids.
Do you think more people need to speak up to protect kids like your daughter?
Yes, I do.
Well, I think from heaven, she can see how hard you fought for her.
Do you feel like this is a war on children?
I know it's a war on children. But like they said, we're coming for your kids.
Yeah.
And they have.
Can I ask the cameras to get turned off for just a second? I just want to have a real conversation.
Thanks for listening to The Shannon Joy Show. We'll be right back. Hey guys, I am so psyched to be working with the folks over at Colonial Metals Group. You guys know that I am all about personal empowerment, never living in fear or waiting for some politician to save you. Being at the whim of the stock market or the current administration does not make me feel safe or secure. But having a self-directed IRA where I can safely store physical gold and silver, assets that have stood the test of time, makes a lot of sense to me. Let the team of experts at CMG help you protect your family's future. Maybe you're just getting started. Maybe you're already in a 401k or an IRA, or maybe you're thinking about your parents' retirement. Regardless of your situation, Colonial Metals Group can help. We put together a special offer for this audience. Click on the link in the description below or call 888-705-0950. That's 888-705-0950, and you'll be eligible to receive a free safe and up to $10,000 in free silver. Don't sit around waiting for a politician to save you. Save yourself, protect your wealth, and call Colonial Metals Group today. And huge thank you to Robbie Starbuck and his wife for creating that documentary. And thank you to Elon Musk, who, you know, we sometimes criticize on this show for some of his proclivities and, you know, his obsession with the Neuralink and the transhumanism. But he does occasionally get it really right. And he retweeted Robbie Starbuck's full 2-hour version of this documentary on Twitter, and it is now tens of millions of views, and that is unbelievable. You do get the sense, like, how could we possibly in this country, as thinking and rational humans, allow this to get to this point? How could we have allowed this to happen? And they mentioned a couple of things. I mean, the onslaught, the overwhelming messaging, the sexualization of children, it's coming from social media. It's coming from our education institutions. It's happening in the libraries of our public schools as young as kindergarten. It's happening in the health classes and in the therapies in public schools. It's in red states and blue states. That book that they featured at the beginning depicting minors, young children performing oral sex on one another and engaging in such sexual acts with full graphic depictions of that. That was one of the books that we fought against with my school board. I went to the school board. We went to 15 meetings and we presented these books to the school board members, and they sit there stone-faced, like they have no soul, they have no heart, they have no problem that full-scale, full-on pornography is being distributed to children in their public schools. That book that you saw in that documentary is in the elementary school, to my knowledge, right now, according to the school catalog of the Fairport Central School District, which is where my kids went to school, and it's in school districts across the country, among other. We featured probably 3 to 4 dozen pornographic books where we pulled out excerpts and pictures and presented them to the school board over and over and over. We were called racists, bigots. We were attacked in our community. We were attacked by our school board members. And we lost. I'm going to be honest. Here in New York, we were not able to penetrate this and get these books out of our schools. It's tragic. And it was, I have to say, it is, it's somewhat traumatizing to realize that they know this is happening and they don't care. I can't understand it. I simply can't understand it. One of the books, they mentioned sex trafficking and how the sexualization of young children and the transgender movement and the LGBTQ movement in public schools grooms children and prepares them to be trafficked. Number one, because it desensitizes them from what is appropriate and inappropriate. When you're 6 years old and your creepster, you know, school counselor is talking to you about sex in graphic terms and gender ideology in you know, first grade, second grade, third grade, how are you to know that that type of conversation is inappropriate when a pedophile or a predator comes at you, a coach when you're older, or a family member? right? If you are conditioned and groomed to have uncomfortable conversations with adults in the setting of a classroom, how possibly are little children to know what is appropriate and inappropriate when other adults who seek to harm them engage in that grooming process? You know, I'm disgusted. I've talked to girls who attend, you know, health classes in my school district who are mortified by some of the conversations that they're having with boys present about very, very sensitive sexual topics. And these are 13, 14, 15-year-old girls who feel uncomfortable, yet they're told to shut up and sit down. You saw Riley Gaines talk about how it's uncomfortable to go into a locker room and be exposed to male genitalia as a college student and a woman in any situation. And we're told to shut up and sit down as women. We're told to take a back seat. We're told that we don't care if you feel uncomfortable. We'll make you feel uncomfortable. These men will make you feel uncomfortable and you need to stuff it. That's abusive. It's abusive to small children. It's abusive to grown women. And somehow we've gotten to this point. We have got to beat this back. This is one of the worst plagues. This is evil. It's absolutely evil what they're doing. And I'm thankful to Riley Gaines. And I'm thankful to all these people that I've mentioned today on the show. Again, must follows on Twitter. Follow Robbie Starbuck. Follow Libs of TikTok. Follow Riley Gaines and Billboard Chris. Watch my interview with Billboard Chris on dailyclout.io. I'm glad to see, even if it's not far enough for my liking, that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has mentioned the inappropriateness of men competing with women in terms of athletics. But it goes way, way, way deeper than that. These young children who are being transitioned are being abused. They're being abused. These hospitals need to be shut down. These doctors need to have their licenses taken if they are abusing and mutilating kids in this way. They need to be shamed publicly. And they mentioned in that trailer, I can tell you, here in New York State, the tragic, tragic story of young children being transitioned behind the backs of their parents in schools by school counselors. Again, this was a bill. This was a regulation that we raged against 8 years ago in New York State. 8, 9 years ago, they changed the regulation in New York State health law, and they required that school districts hide a child transitioning from the parent if the child told the counselor or the school that they were uncomfortable with their parent knowing. Meaning, in New York State, you could put Samantha on the bus. She's in third grade, and she goes to school, and her teacher, her counselor, and the school principal help her transition at school. She becomes Sam. She presents as a male. They might give her clothing to wear. They call her by her preferred pronouns. They call her by her preferred name, and they lie to the parents. If the parent calls up and says, "Is Samantha presenting as Sam at school?" New York State law and regulation compels the school to lie to the parent and hide it from them. This is why I am telling you guys, you have to watch what is happening in New York, and you have to root for those of us in New York who are fighting this and who are going to be fighting like hell against the Equal Rights Amendment that is going to be put on the ballot in the fall of 2024. And this bill, what I would just explain to you was a regulation, they want to codify that into a bill. There's a bill pending in the New York State Assembly that would give minors more freedom to consent over their own health care, including therapy. And this is from New York Teachers for Choice. What they don't say, according to Chalkbeat, is that the legislation will allow kids, this is the bill A6761, will allow kids to consent to surgery, vaccination, psychotropic medication, and all medical procedures without parental knowledge or consent in New York State. And this bill has co-sponsors in the Senate. So they're looking to pass this. This bill is so dangerous, according to Michael Caine of New York Teachers for Choice, and so unpopular that no one will even say what it actually does. Even in the bill itself, the summary states that it allows homeless youth to give effective consent to certain medical, dental, health, and hospital services, provides for insurance coverage of such healthcare services consented by such youth. But that part too is a lie, because they extend it to all children, according to Michael Caine. So we have to rage against these bills. And the website is protectkidsnewyork.com. So for those of you on the live chat who are asking about the organization, a statewide coalition that I am joining, I'm signing on just to be a worker bee, just to help them with this and show up when they need a body and do whatever they need to do. And I'll promote it too with this platform, protectkidsnewyork.com. There's an informational meeting on Saturday, March 2nd, 2024 for anyone in the New York area. So if you are in the sound of my voice, Buffalo, Rochester, Syracuse, we're in Western New York, Finger Lakes region here, and you want to learn how the ERA is going to impact your children and essentially obliterate parental rights in New York State, discover how you can get involved and become educated about this so that we can beat it back. Please join us Saturday, March 2nd, 2024 at the Henrietta Fire Hall from 1 to 3 p.m. And I will post this flyer in the show notes on Rumble and also on my podcast, so you guys can get information to that. And if you want to go to protectkidsnewyork.com, you can get all the information there. Protectkidsnewyork.com. You know, I got out of this fight because we've lost so many battles in New York. It's just too upsetting to me. It's too upsetting to me being on the front lines here. And I know it's more upsetting to the kids. I shouldn't complain, right? This is worse for the kids. This is worse for the kids, but we've got to do this. And so I'm inspired. I'm inspired by these groups who continue to fight back against this. I'm very thankful for the work of Robbie Starbucks. CJP Rumble, thank you so much. www.protectkidsnewyork.com. Studio 8424 has a comment, and I see this all the time. I want to address it. If you leave the district and leave the state of New York cannot abuse your children. And Studio 8424, I'm going to challenge you on that. New York State can abuse your children through precedent. New York State can abuse your children through homing the techniques and the policies to export this madness to red states across the country. Okay. And also, if you leave New York State, I understand if you have small children. Quite frankly, if I had small children, my kids are big. Okay. Somehow we were able to protect them against the schools. By the grace of God here in New York State. My husband works in the education system. And so I'm in this, okay? If I had small children right now in New York State, I would not raise them in New York myself because it's too dangerous. So I understand the sentiment there. But there are still children in New York State public schools who are being abused. There's still children who are being mutilated in hospitals across New York State. And by the way, Studio 8424, your kids can be abused in this way in the state of Texas and in the state of Florida, to my knowledge, because there are still schools who have the freedom and flexibility to provide this counseling. And there are still manipulative tactics and techniques used by counselors and therapists. And there are still hospitals with disgusting Mengelian medical doctors who are performing these procedures and performing the gender, the hormone therapy in states across the country. So do not tell me that this is just happening in New York. It isn't. to the discussion that I had. Talk to Billboard Chris. Talk to Chloe Cole. Talk to people who are on the front line of this. They are fighting tooth and nail in red states. Again, Governor Mike DeWine, a Republican, vetoed a bill in the state of Ohio that would protect children from transgender therapies. And he had to be overridden by the state legislator. Thank God it happened. So do not believe, I really want to pound this idea home, that there's no safe place in the United States right now, that everyone needs to stand up and fight back against this from the local level in the culture, whether you're at the kitchen table, hanging out with your friends, at the school board meeting. You need to address this and practice courage and stand up against it. This coach did it. A coach in probably a liberal progressive charter school did this when he pulled his girls from the game because a transgender student, biological male, was pummeling them. He probably felt uncomfortable doing it, but I'm glad that he did. He did it anyway. That's what we need. We need this happening in colleges, in high schools, and in elementary schools. It's terrible, I understand, but that doesn't mean you give up the fight. Sometimes you need to fight out of boundaries. I get it, Studio. Then you fight where you want to fight, Studio 8424, and I'll fight where I'm going to fight. Like, we really don't have to go at each other about where we're fighting. Why don't we just fight back and stop smugly talking about how stupid we are in New York State and California, those of us who stay and fight? That really irritates me, by the way. It really irritates me. We need to be fighting everywhere. And I see people in red states who smugly think that they're safe. And then their school boards get taken over, and all of a sudden, their red Christian conservative school board is completely overwhelmed with leftist woke individuals. And then they ask what happened. And then you have to escape again. Well, eventually there will be no place to escape to because the evil has exported exponentially throughout the states. And this is why you have to fight everywhere. I'll say it till I'm blue in the face. CJP Rumble, yes. Stop ragging on each other. I get it. I agree. All right. We're going to go to break real quick. I know. I'll get feisty with this. You can't run from it. Agreed. Pope FOMD. You can't run from it. When you see the Catholic Church and conservative institutions, the fact that Donald Trump is trotting out Caitlyn Jenner and there is like a big LGBTQ contingency within the conservative movement all coalescing around Trump shows you that everything is vulnerable to this. And we just have to just beat it back. Okay. So let's go to break real quick. And when we come back, we are going to watch a few more videos, really just absolutely tragic videos of what they're doing to young kids. And we're also going to talk about, you know, just a quick overview on the roots of this. The story behind John Money is really disgusting. And I'm going to tell it when we come back. This is straight out of Wikipedia. This is a left-leaning website. Somewhat progressive. And the father of modern transgenderism was an absolute monster. And this is according to the testimony of the original children that he sought to transgender. We're going to look at Alfred Kinsey as well. From Kinsey to kindergarten, it is his work on sexuality and the sexualization of children that lay the underpinnings to everything that we're seeing today. And we have to annihilate that as well. So when we come back, we're going to hit that, and then we're going to get you out of here in just about 10, 15 minutes, hopefully, and call it a day. But again, please go to protectkidsny.com if you want to get involved in New York State, or if you want to help us out here in New York State and you want to contribute to the cause. It is good for the rest of the country that we obliterate these things in blue states. That is a benefit. And so we should all be rooting for that. And so we're going to try to do that here in New York. We'll be back in a moment right here on the Shannon and Joy Show.
New details tonight on the 1963 assassination of John Fitzgerald Kennedy. The alleged assassin, Lee Harvey Oswald, was involved in a CIA operation 3 months before the assassination.
project was said to be a covert CIA operation that was developing a top-secret vaccine and or a biological weapon.
What they're doing is they're trying to kill Castro.
I'm just a patsy.
In 1963, the world was a powder keg ready to explode. With the CIA holding a match to fuses on every continent. From Vietnam to Cuba, clandestine operations were being waged to preserve a fascist New World Order, which emerged from the ashes of the Third Reich. Assassination teams within the CIA had their eyes on two sitting heads of state. Fidel, a few years earlier, had survived an agency-led coup d'etat. The other head of state, President John F. Kennedy, had scuttled that attempted overthrow and pledged to dismantle the agency, which was already planning his demise. U.S. soil was no longer sacred nor safe from the murderous reach of the CIA, which now reached ambitiously into the heartland of America and into the bayous of New Orleans.
Not mean, however, I'm a communist.
A young girl found herself caught up in a clandestine covert operation to eliminate Fidel Castro. This wouldn't be a shot heard around the world, but rather a silent shot of super cancer-causing poison derived from a monkey simian virus called SV40. A team of fascists hell-bent on defeating communism, directed by the CIA, was formed in New Orleans. This den of vipers included the head of the National Cancer Society, the FBI's former head agent in mafia-controlled Chicago, and a paramilitary instructor who would bring in a double agent named Lee Harvey Oswald. This tale has everything from murder, espionage, a tragic love story, to bioweapons and the genesis of gain-of-function research. At the end of this, we'll have one dead doctor, multiple dead agents, and a dead president. I'm Shannon Joy. Stay tuned as I take you through the full story. Welcome back, everyone, to the Shannon Joy Show. Just scroll down so you can see the full documentary of the kill shot, the full story, my very first ever mini documentary. Super fun to do that. And it is right here on my Rumble page. We are up close to 195 live viewers right now, just on Rumble alone, which is super exciting. If you guys can give us a thumbs up, send us a comment, or follow the Shannon Joy Show, that's going to help us with those algorithms. And yeah, we have popped over 200 live viewers today on the Rumble show, which is the goal every day. We want to increase that as much as we possibly can, but we are experiencing really great organic growth here with the self-production of the Shannon Joy Show. So I am so thankful for all of you. If you want to support our efforts, please go to theshannonjoy.com, theshannonjoy.com. Right now, it looks pretty bad. It's pretty nasty. It's my old website. We're giving it a completely new makeover, and that should be launching in the next, I thought it was going to be the end of February. It's probably going to be closer to mid-March, but it's going to be amazing. You guys are going to love this brand spanking new website built from the ground up, super secure. And if we get deplatformed anywhere, you guys are going to be able to access the Shannon Joy Show every single day. Connect with me, regardless of what goes down on any of the social media platforms. And I'm ready for everything in 2024. I don't know about all of you. We're super thankful for the sponsors of the Shannon Joy Show, Shellshock CBD, Shellshock CBD. Make sure you use that promo code Shannon Joy. And of course, our affiliate partnership with the Wellness Company. It is a second opinion. This is the medical doctors you have come to trust. Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. William Mackis, who is supposed to come on my show next week, maybe the week after, which is super exciting. He's amazing. Also, Dr. Drew is now joining the team, that roster over at the Wellness Company. You can get a second opinion. You can get prescriptions. You can get a vaccine exemption if you need it. If you're in a state where the school or the college requires your kid to get a vaccine in order to be admitted, you can get those very, very important medical exemptions. And also, of course, their emergency kits are unbelievable. I have mine. I have the blue one. They have a new black one out that is that features all of everything that you would need for another kind of disease X kind of situation. So it has the hydroxychloroquine. It has the ivermectin. It has a free nebulizer, among other treatments for upper respiratory illnesses. And of course, it always comes with a manual, and you have access to consultation if you need to take any of those prescriptions. So it's an amazing kit. It's the black kit. I've been featuring it on my social media. Go to getwellwithshannonjoy.com, getwellwithshannonjoy.com. That's my landing page. That's how they know that we sent you, and that's always really important. And then in addition to that, if you use the Shannon Joy promo code, you'll get an additional 10% off. And you really, you know, I tend to not get freaked out about Disease X or whatever it is the next thing they're going to send at us. But I will tell you, you know, when you look at what they did in the labs in Wuhan, and you look at how crazy they are with this gain of function research and the weaponization of viruses, and that's what the kill shot is about, is the weaponization of cancer in a lab. It's insane. It's an insane story. But when you realize, you know, how the Frankenstein God complex Mengelian nature of some of these people, it's enough to freak you out. And you do want to have something on hand. So that's what those medical kits are for, those emergency medical kits, and they're great. So get well with ShannonJoy.com. getwellwithshannonjoy.com. And yeah, so I'm looking at the live chat here. And yeah, listen, Studio 8424, I want people to stand up, but there needs to be enough coming together to draw a line in the sand. You know, you're going no further. And I agree. Listen, I think that people should fight back against lies. They should fight back against attempts to abridge our freedoms. That we should fight back for the children wherever we are, whether you're in a red state or a blue state. Because of my personal situation with my husband and my family, I'm in New York and there isn't an opportunity for me to move. And even if there were, I don't know if I'm ready to move yet. I want to fight back. I want to beat the worst of the worst. I want, and this has been a 10-year battle, by the way, and I've been a big loser so far, but I don't give up. I don't give up. And we do have a growing coalition of parents. We just have not penetrated yet. So I appreciate all of your comments. And I do see, you know, a lot of people, I feel you, Shannon, I fight in the communist state of Illinois, right? So yeah, I mean, keep fighting everywhere. It's the right thing to, why wouldn't you, right? Why wouldn't you? I'm in Southwest Michigan, says Bones Mama One. Let me know when we're going. I've been ready. I just want to get going. Yeah, you got to get out and find your people. Start going to school board meetings. Start going to organizational meetings. You know, ask around. See if there are people in your church or community. You might want to start with some conservative groups or you name it. But you just got to look around and you got to find like-minded people. And then you have to start connecting with them and you have to meet with them, you know, face to face in a human way. Like, we should be advocating on a national level and paying attention to what happens at the presidential level and the congressional level and the statewide level and all these big court cases. But the most important battle line is the local level. And I call for everyone. I don't care what state you're in. I don't care how safe you feel. Everyone should be involved. If we had as few as 10% of the population in this country, people who have read their constitutions, who understand right from wrong, good from evil, truth from lies, people who are engaging in civics, activating at the zoning board, town board, school board, county legislature level, organizing and just making that part of their life where they're engaging in civics every week, every other week, and by just really showing up or speaking out, the entire country would change. The entire country would change like that. If we had as few as 10% of our people turning off Fox News, turning off talk radio for a little while, lamenting about how bad everything is, right? And the libs are always winning and the left is always winning. Whether it's elections or stealing elections or voter fraud or mail-in ballots or weaponized, you know, justice systems in New York State, like, if we just got up and got out. What did the left do? They infiltrated our institutions. What did they do? The long march through the institutions, 100 years. George Soros went in and attacked local school boards, funded people running, woke individuals, went after the Justice Department, attorney generals, attorney general races across the country. What was Barack Obama? A community organizer. Who was Saul Alinsky? A community organizer, right? They went in from the bottom up and infiltrated. That is the winning recipe. Yet those of us on the right who advocate are always conditioned by talk radio, by Fox News, people like Sean Hannity and Mark Levin to never, ever, 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 ever engage from the bottom up. That's where all our power is. That's where all of our power is. It's not as sexy as winning a presidential election, right? And people like to go to Washington, D.C. and talk to a senator or a congressman. And they think like if they can convince them to write a bill, it's going to happen. It's not going to happen. You got to activate from the bottom up. And the good news is, again, if it were literally even less than 10% of our population, things would change. And they're starting to change. I think that was one of the benefits, the silver linings of COVID-19, is that it did jumpstart a lot of local organizations. So yeah, we got to understand the roots of this movement are very, very wicked and very evil. And the fathers of the modern day transgender LGBTQ movement are disgusting, disgusting, evil, vicious, child abusing pedophiles. And that's Alfred Kinsey and John Money. And so we're going to look at a video. This is just a really sad video posted out by Libs of TikTok, just to give you an idea of what they're doing to these little children and how they're filling their minds with such warped ideas of being born in the wrong body, being born wrong, having to be mutilated and changed by adults and sexualized by adults in order for these kids to be okay. It's utterly tragic. And the fact that they push this out there, it's out in the open with the drag queen story hours and the just blatant sexualization of children that I think we've become desensitized to it. But I wanted to play this video to remind us that these kids are crying out. These kids are being abused. And this is a young boy who has been convinced he's been born in the wrong body. And so he's at an LGBTQ+++ parade with his mother and presenting as a girl. And this will break your heart. This will break your heart. And this is why we have to fight. Please watch.
Tell me why you're at Pride.
Because I'm transgender.
Do you want to share anything about your journey?
It was very tough.
Does your family make you feel supported?
Yes, a lot.
How old are you?
I am 7.
And how old were you when you discovered your identity?
I was 2 or 3 when I first noticed that I didn't feel comfortable with being a boy.
How did your child discover this identity? How did this come about?
So ever since she was little, she was always a princess, always. She sort of like every once in a while would mention ideas of like wanting to be a girl, of feeling more like a girl. And then she started asking to like socially transition about a year and a half ago, and her school's been fantastic.
Your family, your friends, everyone like makes you feel supported and loved.
Except for my friends. I didn't tell them that yet.
Oh, wait, do you want to be on the internet talking about it then?
Yeah, okay. I want to be famous one day.
What do you want to be famous for?
Probably my songs or like famous drawings.
It wasn't even really a change. Like she's been expressing herself as a girl since she was old enough to get dressed. I think that being the parent of a trans child is totally different than what people think that it is. And I know you hear a lot about how we're going to have our kids go into surgery and how we're forcing them to make these decisions. The opposite is true. You know, I'm up all the time worrying about how the world is going to react to my kid. I would rather have her change her pronouns 1,000 times than have to write her obituary. I wish that people who have already decided that they hate us and that we're child abusers would actually talk to us. I feel like that would make such a big difference. But you're right, like the assumptions that people are making are the worst kinds of assumptions, and nobody wants to hear, you know, what our truth is. What it's like to actually raise a transgender child is just so remarkably different than what I would have experienced or thought.
What do you say to the people that accuse you of doing Munchausen by proxy?
So I think that the assumption for that is that, and I hope this is taken in the spirit of what it's meant, is that that means that we wanted to have a transgender child. And I love her no matter what, but I don't think any parent wants their child born into something in which they know that they're going to struggle. It goes against the idea of parenting for me.
So this is what we're up against, and it is that minority of insane thinking and very disordered thinking that is dominating the culture in the United States of America. These parents really believe what they're saying and what they're doing. I think in some ways they've been, you noticed she mentioned in that interview that she'd rather have her child change their pronouns multiple times and potentially go through, puberty blockers or, you know, the medical transition than have a dead child. And that is one of the most disgusting ways these psychologists and therapists and medical doctors who are making, hundreds of thousands of dollars, I mean, an enormous amount of money on conducting these surgeries. It's one of the ways that they absolutely terrorize and traumatize parents. So before you go after the parents, I mean, that woman clearly had an agenda there. But in the case of Chloe Cole, for example, the onslaught of these therapists saying your kid's going to kill themselves. Your kid is transgender. They were born in the wrong body and they're going to kill themselves unless you go down, you get all of this therapy. And it's like this black hole that they descend into and they cannot get out of. And it is so powerful. I know of parents here in New York State who had to pull their children out of school and move them across state lines, move them to completely different school districts to save their children from the conditioning, the intense conditioning of these transgender activists and advocates in the school system. So it is sick, sick, disgusting stuff. That little girl, or it's a boy, but that little boy presenting as a girl has been told by adults over and over, probably since they were 2 or 3 years old, that he was born in the wrong body. That he was born wrong. That's insane. That is, in and of itself, is utter insanity. And we have got to rage against it. And way too many people, because they don't want to be called bigots, and they don't want to be called haters, and they don't want to be called racists and homophobes, and they're afraid of what their neighbors are going to think, and they're afraid of what their friends are going to think, will not stand up and say, this is insane and this has to stop. And we need more within the culture to do that. And that's why pushing this out and fighting back from your own corner of the world is just so important in every way possible. Whether it's disseminating information on social media like Libs of TikTok and Robbie Starbuck, or starting a group in your own corner of the world, a group to protect children, joining a Moms for Liberty group in your region, starting something, working on blocking legislation or pushing legislation. That's what Billboard Chris has been doing and Chloe Cole has been doing. All of the above, everything but the kitchen sink. We need to throw back at them because these kids are suffering. The parents are narcissists, said CJP Rumble. I agree. I agree that these parents are it's a range, I think, between Munchausen by proxy. Some of these parents are absolutely, I mean, some of them are probably sexual deviants themselves, I would imagine. And when you look at the found, you know, a lot of the behind all of this is a real desire to sexualize children. There's a very, very dark, dark, dark evil thread where they can look at a young girl crying to them, testifying at a school board meeting, which I'm going to show you that video in a moment. Just a few weeks ago on the Shannon Joy Show, I hosted a mother. And I will link you guys to this as well in the show notes. Horrifying video here in Webster, New York, a neighboring town. And I had mom on my program about 3 or 4 weeks ago. Her daughter, her beautiful, popular, straight-A student, well-adjusted, cheerleader young daughter, spoke out at a school board meeting okay, to adults on the school board and said that she felt uncomfortable because they were forcing a biological male into the locker room. She and about a half a dozen of her friends bravely stood up and spoke out publicly at a school board meeting, begging these adults to give them a safe space. And rather than doing anything, the school board ignored their pleas, forced the situation, and that young girl ended up being pummeled in the hallways of her high school at a concert by a transgender student, a biological boy who beat the crap out of her. Okay? We featured the video on my show. Mom was on my show just 2 or 3 weeks ago. And even that exposure accomplished nothing here in New York at this point. I know that she's still activating. But there is a very, very specific kind of malice involved with adults who will look at crying young girls in the eye and their hearts are so hardened or so sick and dark that they can't see her humanity and see how wrong this is. It really is. I can't believe, and maybe that's why I'm in New York State. Maybe that's why maybe I need to see this so that I can tell you all about it so that you can be prepared for it or stave it off in your communities. It's the most evil thing I've ever witnessed in my life. I can't, these health teachers, these school board, they're either dead in their hearts, completely dead in their hearts, or there is a darkness there that prevents them from seeing that humanity and how wrong that this is. I can't explain it other than just being evil. I mean, it's a spiritual wickedness that when you understand like the roots of this, you will begin to understand a little bit more. Alfred Kinsey, and I mentioned I was going to talk about this. I'm not going to go too deeply into it, but I mean, everything today, modern sexual education today exists because of Alfred Kinsey. And he was a real freak, okay? A sexologist, a zoologist. He was at Indiana University, founded Kinsey Institute, and he was famous for writing the book, the defining books in the 60s, sex in the American male and sex in the American female. And he basically became the authority on everything that had to do with sex. It was all about pleasure, had nothing to do with procreation, nothing to do with any kind of spiritual bond or something that was sacred. And no, it was just all about pleasure. It's very important to Alfred Kinsey to prove that humans were just basically sexual. That's it. It's biological reactions. We just needed to have them satiated. We're just like animals. And we just, in any capacity, sex with anything is okay. It blew the lid off of the constraints of marriage. It blew the lid off of propriety and being chaste. It blew the lid off of all of the conventional understandings about sexuality and really just made it a free-for-all, but not before he abused hundreds of infant little boys, bringing them to orgasm. It was found later and revealed that Alfred Kinsey, in order to prove, and it was very important for him to prove that children were basically sexual beings. That's what he wanted. And so he had to bring infants to orgasm. And he did hundreds of times. This was the basis of his proof. He basically masturbated young boys, young infants to the hundreds, as young, I believe, as 1 year old, maybe even younger. And when he was able to do that, he could say, there, see, I proved it. It's not about love, not about procreation, not about anything chaste. It's all about just the biological mechanism of sexuality. And from there, he decided that because infants and small children were sexual beings, then infants and small children should be able to express their sexuality in any way, with each other, with adults, on their own. That was the basis. He was a sick, sick, freak, disgusting pedophile. And what he wanted to do was normalize sexuality between children and adults. That was the point. That was Alfred Kinsey. And he still has the Kinsey Institute that exists in Indiana. He is the father of modern sexual education. And this is why the left, LGBTQ, this is where they base everything off of. Well, children are going to have sex. So we have to teach them about it. And we have to sexualize them. That went from, well, the kids are going to have sex, so we have to tell them about biology and how you can get pregnant and teach them how to use condoms, to, well, children are sexual beings, so we have to teach them how to have sex, whether it's with each other, inanimate objects, males, females, adults, or children. In fact, that was one of the most disturbing aspects of the books that we found here in New York State in the library that we protested and presented to my school board. The most disturbing aspect is that in some of those books, there was a normalization of sex between adults and children. There was reference to it, and there were images depicting it in some of those books. Now, I'm not saying that the school freaking librarian gets this. I'm sure she doesn't. She doesn't care. None of them do. They care about their ideology. They care about their wokeism. They care about virtue signaling to everyone around them. They care about being the most progressive on the block. And so they don't think about these things. They don't look into them. And they probably don't even understand how damaging this is to children. But when you understand the underpinnings of what this guy wanted, and I happen to think a lot of powerful people want this, or else it wouldn't exist. There wouldn't be money behind it. There wouldn't be organization behind it. And I'm not saying that all the people on the front lines understand this to this extent, but I guarantee you the savvy ones do. And a lot of them are just basically perverts. They're nasty, disgusting, pedophile perverts, and they want to normalize their perversion. And so they will push this. And this is why in New York State, post the rollout of these pornographic books throughout all of our schools in the name of sexual education. We've had multiple principals, school teachers caught with pornography, arrested for pornography, sexual abuse of dozens of children in school districts. This has happened in Virginia. This has happened in school districts across the country. This will be bigger than the Catholic Church, by the way. When all is said and done, this will be bigger than the Catholic Church because it's completely institutionalized. It's grotesque. It's in our faces, at least within the Catholic Church. And they had a whole host of problems, but at least it was hidden, right? There was shame involved with what it was. This is completely different. There is pride involved in it. Pride. Interesting term, right? Brian Money was worse. I'm sorry, not Brian Money. John Money was worse than Alfred Kinsey. I'm gonna show you this video of just young girls crying out. This is a 3-minute video. When we come back, we're gonna talk about John Money. And he, you know, Alfred Kinsey, probably the father of modern sexual education for children. He was the guy that posited the whole theory that kids are sexual, and because they're sexual, they need to have sex. They can have sex, and we should encourage them to have sex, even with adults. Okay. Guy was crazy. It was John Money, who is probably the father of transgenderism. And he was a real freak. He was a real sick puppy. And we come back. I'm going to read, this is straight from Wikipedia. I'm going to read the whole thing to you because it's sickening. All right, but this is the last. We're going to move into the last segment. We'll expose John Money, and then hopefully this will motivate people to get involved at the local level. Check out your schools. What's happening within your local hospital institutions? Like really, 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 really sickening stuff. And they want to normalize this. They want to normalize this because they want a ready and plentiful supply of kids to abuse, the dark, dark people at the root of all of this. It doesn't get this dark. You don't see this stuff happening if there isn't a larger plan involved. People aren't just, they don't just wake up in the morning and think, hey, let's put pornography in the library. That'd be a great idea. No, the people who put the pornography in the library are influenced, and they are bullied, and they are coerced, they're tricked, they are manipulated into thinking this is about love and saving the children, whatever it is, whatever you name it. But normal people don't get up in the morning and think, what can I do to push this agenda of sexualizing children and normalizing sexual relationships between adults and children? That is not normal. That doesn't just evolve out of nowhere. It evolves from a source. And I'm thankful to Robbie Starbuck for trying diligently to continue to get to that source. There are bad, bad people out there. All right, we're going to watch this video. This was a compilation. This was a school in New York State, of course. And this really devastated me because these young girls spoke out on February 8th, okay, of this past year. And it's very similar to this was at the Clarkstown Central School District in New York State. And once again, the monsters on their school board and the school administration, they've probably been infiltrated, again, are forcing the issue of biological boys invading their space in a bathroom, in a locker room. And this is just a compilation. And, you know, and also the reaction from school board members to this testimony, which is really, I mean, you just can't believe that this is happening in schools. But these kids are crying out. These kids, these girls are crying out. They are begging for relief. They are begging to not be exposed to male genitalia in elementary school and middle school, let alone in college, on college campuses. And this is where all the politicians are getting everything wrong. They just want to talk about collegiate sports. That's all they want to talk about. It's way bigger than that. These kids are being abused. But this was a recent compilation of, these are young children testifying. Young, think about that. Young children who have to go to adults and sit at a school board meeting and beg them, young girls, beg them to not expose male penises to them in girls' locker rooms and bathrooms. How insane is that? How are we here? It's unbelievable. But here we go. Take a look.
I'm here to express that I no longer feel safe within the four walls at Festa, and I feel that my freedom has been taken away from me. I have been waiting since second grade for swimming during school at Festa, only now to find out I'm sharing a locker room with a trans female who may still have a penis. I do not feel comfortable being exposed to that, and I no longer feel safe. This has nothing to do with any being a bad person. It is simply that I do not feel mature enough to view any man's penis, whether they identify as a female or a man. A penis is a penis.
Private spaces are one of the most important things in a growing boy or girl's life. Private spaces we as children go to recognize the change within us and our body. Everyone should feel safe. But I and my fellow students are being forced to sign petitions to allow these things to follow through. It becomes bullying. You are not teaching me to be okay with who you are. You are pushing me to show my vulnerable parts to somebody I may not trust. But this is not a hate speech. This is a 15-year-old student who's affected by the decisions you push upon us. I am the child on the other side of this, and I and my friends want our sense of privacy to be valued by the higher-ups.
Central to this debate is the issue at hand of allowing individuals who are biological men or women to enter bathrooms or locker rooms that do not align with their biological sex. This practice leaves many feeling vulnerable and breaches a moral and ethical boundary, suggesting that those who identify differently should utilize single occupancy bathrooms. This stance is not rooted in transphobia, but in a concern for the safety and privacy of all students.
The truth is, I'm filled with apprehension at the thought of using these facilities under existing guidelines, policies, in my eyes, fail to protect our privacy and safety in spaces where we should feel most secure. The policy, which seems to have been adopted without a thorough consideration of its impact on the student body, leaves many of us feeling exposed and vulnerable. We need leaders who prioritize the well-being, privacy, and safety of every student. Leaders who are willing to listen, recess, and if necessary, reverse decisions that do not serve the best interests of those who have pledged to protect.
This policy change has sparked fear among a significant portion of our student population, particularly girls, who now feel their safety and privacy are compromised. The idea that facilities should be accessed based on self-identification rather than biological sex is not just troubling, it's a blatant disregard for the well-being of students. To allow individuals into bathrooms and locker rooms that do not align with their biological sex is beyond discomforting. It is frankly lunacy and unacceptable. This isn't about denying rights or excluding anyone. It's about ensuring that every student's right to privacy and safety is upheld. What's currently happening is that our trusted board is in alignment with the degradation of the moral fabric of our community.
Woo! There we go. Love hearing kids stand up and speak out and fight back. Yes, that is in New York State, Clarkston Central School District. And those were kids speaking up and speaking out. And again, what kind of world are we living in today where young girls have to beg for privacy? They have to beg smug adults who are sitting there lifeless, soulless. You know, I remember, you know, when we would speak up at our school board meetings in the exact same way that you've seen these children speak up, only it was, we were parents, moms and dads in my school district. And the school board, they just look at you with dead, dead eyes. Like there's nothing there. There's no soul. There's no emotion. There's no concern. It is the most bizarre thing I've ever witnessed, tragically, in Webster, New York. And so that was Clarkston, New York. I'm in Fairport, New York, and Webster, New York, which is a neighboring town. Similarly, you know, 8-10 weeks ago, girls stood up and they spoke out. They were uncomfortable about a transgender student in the bathroom. And that ended in the pummeling, the assault of a young girl by that transgender student, the biological boy presenting as a girl in the hallways. It was recorded via videotape, and I had the mom on my program just weeks ago. I'll pull that up so you guys can watch that interview. This has been going on. Again, this is happening in red states and blue states across the country. And the first time, you know, that those videos bring back so much for me. You know, the first time I ever engaged with the school board ever was 10 years ago when I started my show. And parents came to me from SOTUS, New York, a rural school district in New York State, moms and dads concerned with what a transgender boy that they were trying to, this was 10 years ago in New York State. And we testified, I brought attention to this with my platforms. The school superintendent was a monster, a monstrous human. The school board did not heed any of their concerns, forced the girls into the locker room situation. It was just terribly, terribly devastating to me at that time. That was 10 years ago. I mean, this battle is it's a righteous battle. You wonder, Shannon, why? I mean, how many school boards have I been to? I've been to probably, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 dozen over the years with different parent groups and organizations fighting back against this. Damn it, one day we're going to win. One day we're going to get, we're going to penetrate here in New York State. I'm not going to give up on it. But we're going to end with this because you just have to know how sick. And I think sometimes knowing how freaking sick these monsters are, like it's not anything, it's not woke. It isn't intellectual. It isn't nice or friendly or compassionate. They don't care about children, okay? Anyone who is pushing this cares about their own image. They want to virtue signal. They think they're at the forefront of a new movement, or they're pedophiles. Like there isn't a whole lot there. Or there's a money interest. I think in a lot of ways there's a money interest. They just don't care. They don't care. They will mutilate children. They will destroy their reproduction. They will destroy their bodies. They will tell these children they're born in wrong bodies, but they'll get paid for it. And that was John Money. Okay. This guy was also a sexologist. Alfred Kinsey was father of modern sex education, disgusting pedophile that brought hundreds of infant baby boys to orgasm in order to conduct his research, establishing that children are sexual beings. That was the underpinning of sex education in the United States of America. If children are sexual, well, then the schools have to teach them how to have sex, even if it's with adults, which is where this is going if we don't stop it. All right, so that's Alfred Kinsey. That's why we have sex education in school. It's because of him. And he still has a vaunted institute and people still go and pay homage to it. He's the father. Okay. He was a sick, sick bastard. John Money was equally sick. He would probably be the father of transgenderism. And this is pretty, I mean, this is pretty straightforward. I'm going to read this to you. This is from Wikipedia. You need to understand how bad this guy was, okay? John Money was a sexologist. He was at Johns Hopkins University. During his professional life, he was respected as an expert on sexual behavior, especially known for his views that gender was learned rather than innate. So he's the father of the genders, okay? And that's really a construct. You know, two genders is something invented by John Money and others, okay? But a lot of his work was based on his most famous case. So he believed that gender was learned rather than innate. And that involved the case of David Reamer, born Bruce Reamer. And this was, you know, his parents, he was fundamentally flawed. He had a botched circumcision and it left this poor 8-month-old who had a twin without a penis. John Money of Johns Hopkins University and the father of modern transgenderism and the whole construct of the gender persuaded the baby's parents that sex reassignment surgery would be in Reamer's best interest. At the age of 22 months, Reamer underwent a surgery in which his testicles were surgically removed. He was reassigned by John Money to be raised as a female, and his name was changed from Bruce to Brenda. Money further recommended hormone treatment. Does any of this sound familiar to you? And his name was changed or recommended hormone treatment to which the parents agreed. Money then recommended a surgical procedure to create an artificial vagina. Does any of this sound familiar to you? Which the parents ultimately refused. John Money then published a number of papers reporting on the reassignment surgery as successful, and he was vaunted. David Reamer was raised under what he called the optimum gender rearing model, which was the common model for sex and gender socialization, medicalization for intersex youth. And this is the model that is being pushed today in hospital systems across the country and in schools. The model was criticized at times, but this is where it gets pretty bad. According to John Colapinto's biography of David Reamer, who, by the way, one of the twins killed himself eventually. It was very tragic. Very, very tragic. But John Colapinto wrote a biography of David Reamer and stated starting when Reamer and his twin Brian were 6 years old. And Money, he was told that, you know, they testify that John Money sexually abused them, that Money showed the brothers pornography, okay? What are we talking about in libraries and school districts across the country? Adults showing children pornography in school. In the construct of school. It's grooming. Money showed the brothers pornography and forced the two to rehearse sexual acts. Money would order David to get down on all fours, and Brian was forced to come up behind him and place his crotch against him. Money also forced Reamer in another sexual position to have his legs spread with Brian on top. On at least one occasion, Money took photographs of the two children performing these acts. When either child resisted Money would get angry. Both the boys remember and recall him as mild-mannered around their parents, but very ill-tempered alone with them. He forced them to strip down for genital inspections, and when they resisted inspecting each other's genitals, this guy was a sick, sick freak. He said he was very aggressive. Money's rationale for the treatment of the children was his belief that childhood sexual rehearsal play and thrusting movements was important for a healthy adult gender identity. Okay? Sick, sick, sick. At 14 years old, in extreme physical agony, David Reamer was eventually told the truth by his parents. Horrible. Horrible. And this is the guy. I mean, this is the beginning. This is what we're dealing with. And this is why you can't handle these people with kid gloves, and you have to call them out. You have to speak out. You have to get involved again. We have to protect the kids. We just have to protect the kids. And we have to do everything that we possibly can. Because the underpinnings of this, that this has implication, this is part of the larger, you know, biomedical industrial complex where, you know, they just want to take the human being and morph it into something that is just ugly and sick and wrong, not your natural body. And just telling people that they were born wrong, telling children they were born wrong is so incredibly evil, and we just have to stop it. So I wanted to present all of this to you guys today. We have run out of time. You can get all of the information that I sent about, I want you to check out that, at least in New York State, protectkidsnewyork.com. It is a statewide coalition that is gaining some momentum. I'm going to be joining it. And we are going to fight back in New York State against the sexualization and the abuse of children in our schools and in our hospitals. And so I'm going to do that here. I'm going to tell you about our progress. And I just want to encourage all of you within the sound of my voice today, if you are outraged or dismayed or disturbed by the videos that you saw today, what is happening in our schools, I don't care if you have kids in public school, if you don't have kids in public school, if you're a grandparent, even if you don't have skin in the game on this, it's just the right thing to do. We need all hands on deck. Again, huge thanks to Robbie Starbuck for the production of The War on Children. I agree. It is a war on children. I want to encourage you guys to watch that documentary. 2 hours. It is free now on Twitter. So make sure you get on Twitter. Make sure you follow my account on Twitter at Shannon Joy Radio. Shannon Joy Radio, or at Shannon Joy Radio is the handle. And again, big thanks to Libs of TikTok and Billboard Chris. I want to encourage you guys to go and watch the interview that I did with Billboard Chris. He is on the front line and he is leading men to start standing up for their daughters. That is what inspired him to do this 3 years ago. And he has been a force of nature in coalescing and, or in terms of galvanizing the movements against trans, you know, cross hormone treatment and puberty blockers and these terribly mutilating transgender surgeries. We've got to save the kids. And so thank you for being with us today. Please make sure that if you like the show, please visit my website, theshannonjoy.com, theshannonjoy.com. If you appreciate the coverage here and the news items that we present to you on a daily basis and those interviews, and you can support everything we do with a monthly donation or contribution. You guys are amazing. Thank you so much. It helps us to keep the lights on and reinvest back into the platforming of this show and grow organically and independently. Could not do it without all of you. And also, of course, thank you to our partners over at Shellshock CBD, sponsors of the Shannon Joy Show. Make sure you go to shellshockcbd.com. Use that promo code Shannon Joy for 10% off. And of course, get your medical emergency kit right now from our friends over at the Wellness Center. Getwellwithshannonjoy.com. Getwellwithshannonjoy.com is my landing page. That's how they know that I sent you. And you will also get 10% off if you use the promo code Shannon Joy. Again, that is how we keep the lights on here in the Shannon Joy Show. It is your contributions, your independent contributions to our little engine that could, and also our partners, our advertising partners, which we very clearly identify to maintain journalistic ethics here on the show so that you know where our bread is buttered. And that's, I think, the best way to do it, the most ethical way to do the journalism, in my opinion. And so that's the model that we use here on the Shannon Joy Show. I want to thank you guys for being with us tomorrow. Make sure you turn in. Denis Rancourt is with us. He is a giant. He is one of the foremost experts on everything that involves the fraud that is COVID-19 and was COVID-19, including the rollout of the terrible vaccines. He has some controversial views that are in opposition with some of our favorite medical authorities on this topic, but we love lots of input and lots of ideas and differing opinions. He had a phenomenal debate with Steve Kirsch. We had Steve Kirsch on last week, maybe the week before, to talk about that. We're going to bring Denis in tomorrow to talk about the continuing tragedy, the catastrophic ramifications of the lockdowns and the rollout of the COVID-19 vaccines. We're going to get to all that tomorrow on the show. So make sure you follow the Shannon Joy Show right now here on Rumble so that you don't miss a single minute. We'll be back on tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern time right here on the Shannon Joy Show. Hey everyone, Shannon Joy for Connecta Mobile. So when I started my show 10 years ago, I would talk to my friends about privacy and the Fourth Amendment, and they would look at me like I had three heads. Now, fast forward to 2024, post-COVID, and everyone is talking about privacy. We are freaked out by AI, grossed out by government surveillance, and very aware that data is the new gold. Combine that with the new reality that your whole life and all of your data is on your phone and in the palm of your hands, making you a sitting duck for common hackers, corporate hustlers, or government spies. Are you going to let them get away with that? Well, I'm not. And that's why I use my Connecta mobile phone as the official business phone for Joy Media. That's because Connecta is the only phone company that specializes in security and privacy above all else. Call Connecta Mobile today and talk to a real person who lives in the United States about securing your devices and communications for as little as $35 a month. Their basic plan includes device encryption, encrypted text and data, also a free phone. That's just the beginning. Call 941-246-2156 to talk to a representative. That's 941-246-2156. Or go to phone123.com/joy today. That's phone123.com/joy. Get securely connected today only with Connecta.